Hey guys, welcome back. It's Thursday morning. I'm in Richmond, Virginia. Got here yesterday, did a show last night. It was fantastic. Let's go back though. Was in Tampa last week, had a great time. Tampa, Florida. Never been before. The club's in Ybor City, which is kind of like the New Orleans of the area. People are walking around all night. Tried to record a podcast while I was there with Mike Baldwin, who was in Orlando, but we couldn't meet up. And I've been struggling with the podcast this last couple weeks. Last week being on the road. I'm not sure why I'm struggling, but, you know, I want to do two a week, and I've been struggling to get one a week. And I don't know if it's being out of sorts from being on the road, or lack of motivation, lack of things to talk about because I'm by myself most of the time. And maybe I'm not encountering enough new experiences while I'm out here on the road, but it's been interesting. It seems like time is just flying by, and the things that I'm choosing to talk about, because, like, let's be honest, I've tried to record this podcast about 7 times. I have about 10 different snippets, and I might play those back to back to back to back for you at the end of this, just to see how that strings out. It's sort of like I would leave the recorder on all day and I would just add notes to it as I was going about my day. I haven't listened to any of them yet, so I don't know if I'll be able to do that, but might be interesting to listen to. The condo was the world famous condo from I Am Comic. It's not a world famous condo. I don't even know if there is a world famous condo in the world, but, if you've seen the documentary about stand-up comedy called I Am Comic, in the movie, Nikki Glaser, who is a very talented comedian who has a show on Comedy Central right now called Not Safe with Nikki Glaser, was interviewed about stand-up comedy in the condo at Tampa. And it was a really good interview. And I think it did a good job of illustrating where she was at that point in her career versus where she is now in her career. Because I think she got a lot of exposure after the movie, but I don't think it really took off. I don't think her career really took off until this Comedy Central show. And I don't even want to say really took off, because she's infinitely more famous than most people I know. So, but she loves Dayton. She gives Dayton Funny Bone a shout out in Road Comic, I Am Road Comic, which is the sequel to I Am Comic. And I think they're even making a third version of that movie. If you're thinking about doing stand-up or you know somebody that wants to do stand-up, I highly recommend the movie I Am Comic. It's just a documentary about, you know, it's got a lot of famous people in it, but they really go through the kind of emotions and the trials and tribulations of what it means to be a stand-up comic on the road. And I really enjoyed it. I watched it before my first open mic set at a comedy club. I think I'd done 2 open mics before that, but they were years earlier. And it really gave me a lot of peace of mind that this is what I wanted to do. And even if it didn't go well, it was supposed to not go well, because it shows a lot of things. Another great movie for that is Comedian with Jerry Seinfeld. It's a documentary about his life right after the TV show ended and him trying to go back on the road and develop new material. And even Jerry struggles. The condo situation that I'm dealing with currently is this, guys. The Tampa condo is in a very nice complex, has a very nice pool, workout area. It's walking distance to the club, everything. But needs a little more TLC than it's been given. And I don't know who to blame here. it's the comic's fault or if it's the people cleaning the condo's fault. Both. I'm going to say both. And I don't want to blame anybody because I'm certainly no germaphobe clean freak. I'm not that guy, but I am that guy, I think. I think the road is making me that guy. I think when you stay in a Hilton Garden Inn or a Marriott style hotel, I'd say the benchmark is probably about 100, anything over $100 a night. If that's like the retail rate of the hotel, that's typically the yin and the yang. So the yin would be the hotel, the yang would be a condo. There's very few condos in the chain that are as nice as any hotel that you could stay in. And even the ones that are that nice, they have, kind of blown out beds or dated furniture. All that stuff's fine. I don't really care about any of that stuff. I can live with all of that stuff. But when it's in a nice complex and it's just not maintained, it's just sad. It does something to my morale. It does something to my overall energy of feeling good. You're like, why don't you clean the condo then? Well, I could, perhaps. But that's not why I'm here. And I don't want to. The things that you find under the beds and under the couches of these places sometimes is just beyond reason. I don't know why I'm complaining about this right now, guys, except for the fact that, I'm staying in the condo here in Richmond, and I had to book a hotel for myself this morning. I got in. Normally, the shows are Thursday through Sunday, or Thursday through Saturday, or Wednesday through Saturday, or something like that. This is Wednesday through Sunday. And thank God, because last night's show was amazing. It was amazing. And I told myself if I sold enough t-shirts, then I'd get myself a hotel for a couple nights. And I did. So I am. And it's not even a great hotel. It's a Quality Inn. It's down the street. Decent reviews. I think like 3.5 stars on Google. I mean, that's not, it's nothing to write home about. But I think it'll be better. I think it'll be better than where I'm at now. And I think I'll have more peace of mind. And it's right down the street. The thing I think I'm starting to grapple with is when you're on the road like this, you kind of have to do whatever it takes to keep yourself sane, and that's what I'm doing. But I'm not like trying to help myself lose money, which is how it feels. It feels like I'm inviting myself to lose money by staying somewhere where I could, where choosing to pay where I could stay for free. But I'm not using all of my money. I mean, there's always some overhead to these gigs. You got gas money, food, all that stuff. So there's always overhead. If I had flown here, I would have spent more on a ticket than I'm spending on this hotel for the next 3 nights. And then what I'll do is I'll stay in the hotel for 3 nights, and then on Sunday morning I'll check out and I'll just hang out. I'll either come back to the condo and hang out, but I'll leave after the show on Sunday night and drive part of the way home. Here's something I've been doing, guys. Sleeping in the car. It's been, I've turned the Prius into a mobile home, and it's been interesting. Spent a couple nights in the car and got good sleep. I dare I say great sleep. I set the automatic air conditioning to 69, and I pull the passenger seat all the way forward and kick the backrest forward, lay down the back seat into the trunk, blow up my air mattress. Pull out the sleeping bag and my new sleep sack, and I get cozy. I even have a situation where I have a clamp that I can put on the dome light in the back there and put my phone up. I watched the USA get routed by Argentina that way. It was very fun. And yeah, it's been great. I can honestly say that sleeping in the car is more comfortable and more. I have more peace of mind than I did last night sleeping. And I don't know why that is, but I think because this is my car, I'm controlling all the controllables. I've cleaned it. I know it's clean, and I'm happy with it. Last night's show, I had a strange thing happen. Let's see, do we want to go back to Tampa? We can go back to Tampa for a second. Very interesting city, Ybor City. Everything was walking distance that I needed. There's a convenience store right on the corner of the condo complex, which was super awesome. Coffee, one block over. The club was about three blocks away, which was way too far to walk in the Tampa heat. I arrived in Tampa as a Caucasian and within 15 minutes was full-blown African-American. It's equatorial compared to Ohio. It's so much closer to the sun. The sun is so much hotter. I got some real sun. Laid out a couple days for about 5 minutes each time before I realized it was just not fun. But still got plenty of sun. Even got my tip of my nose burnt. But the weather was fantastic. Had a couple storms. I guess that's the Tampa Bay Lightning. Went for a 6 mile walk. About 2 miles in, I was like, holy shit, I should turn around. But I wasn't even to my starting point yet. I was walking to get to the Bayshore area, which is like walks right along the waterfront, but it was about a mile and a half just to get there. And I realized I was there, but I wasn't there. And I was like, well, I gotta at least get to the starting point before I turn around. But way back, I had to stop about 4 or 5 different times in the shade and drink water just to make sure that I didn't pass out and knock my teeth out again. It was blistering hot, and this was at 9 o'clock in the morning. So after the show on Friday, this club is old. It's like a historic building, but it's very well renovated, so it doesn't look old on the inside, but it is. And it's in a block of buildings that are very historic. And it seats like probably 450 people. It's huge. 3 tiers. Very theater in the round looking. But after the show on Friday, it had rained during the first show. And so second show is setting up. So we have to sell our t-shirts outside where everyone's exiting. It was so humid that I sweat through my jeans and shirt to the point where I felt like I had wet my pants. I felt like somebody dumped a bucket of water on me. I had to change my shirt. Not just because it was wet. I could have just taken it off, but it was like salt. It wasn't just the humidity. I was actively sweating. So I had to change my shirt and pants for the second show, which is a first. Was afraid that was going to happen again on Saturday, so I brought all my clothes with me, but it was cooler. It had rained more, so I think it cooled it off more, and the humidity wasn't actually as bad. But man, selling outside in that kind of heat, the sun had already gone down, and it was still blistering hot. I've never experienced that kind of heat since ever. I don't know. I mean, I lived in Hawaii and Pensacola, and I've been to Miami. I've been to hot places, but damn, I don't think I've been experiencing the heat like that in a long time. But still a great time. Record setting sales on t-shirts for myself, not for anybody else, but just for myself. So that was nice. That was a very good experience. Then I drove to Jacksonville and hung out with my friends, visited with my friends Chase and Josh. They both live in Jacksonville. They both moved down there damn near 20 years ago for different reasons. It wasn't 20, like 15 years ago for different reasons, but they ended up living together and they're still good friends. And, you know, we were all friends in high school, so it's nice to be able to go somewhere and feel like you're still having a class reunion, even though you're not home. Hung out there for a couple days before and after the shows in Tampa, and then drove up here to Richmond, Virginia for the Wednesday show with Tim Gaither, who I've worked with before. I was an MC for him in Dayton several years ago. And we're doing this Wednesday show, which is hit or miss. A Wednesday show is like a Thursday show. And if you've ever been to a Thursday show is a little bit less than a Friday or Saturday show because people have to go to work on Friday. At least a lot of people do. But I found that the bigger the city, the less dependent that Thursday show is. You know, like a lot of people's Thursday is their Friday, so they'll cut loose at the comedy club. That's been my experience at Columbus, at least. The Columbus Funny Bone. But this show in Richmond last night on a Wednesday was fantastic. It was a very mixed crowd. Maybe the most mixed crowd I've ever performed for. It was probably about 80, maybe 100 people. And it was just good. The MC did great. Dylan, never seen him before, but he did great. And then I went up. I wasn't sure how it was going to go, but man, the first 10 minutes was just rock solid and closed strong. And got off stage and we set up our merch. And I'm like, oh man, I hope I can just sell enough t-shirts to justify the expense of getting a hotel, which I did. And I even saw this guy before the show who I thought, man, this guy looks like Joe Zimmerman, who is a comic from New York. He's one of the beards of comedy. If you're a comedy nerd, you already know who Joe Zimmerman is. He's a little bit alty, but has a Comedy Central special and just one of the nicest guys you'd ever meet, and extremely funny without really trying. You know, he's on stage, it's effortless and likable and funny. Anyway, he's got a very distinctive beard and look, I think, and he kind of looks like a younger version of Van Gogh, but I see this guy before the show, and I'm like, man, is that Joe Zimmerman? No, it's not Joe Zimmerman, but looks like Joe Zimmerman's beard for sure. After the show, the guy comes out, and he's talking. They're hanging around. People buy shirts. This guy looks like Joe Zimmerman's one of the last people. Finally decides to come over and talk to us and starts talking about my hometown of Yellow Springs. And knowing that I was a goalie for Yellow Springs. And then reveals himself to be Jesse Hagberg, who was a freshman when I was a senior. And the only reason I remember him really was because he was, he played soccer and he tried really hard as a freshman to contribute and was a good player. And, I used to make fun of his name. His name was Hagberg, but I'd call him Hagler or Hagfish or Haggis or whatever. I would always try to butcher his name to the point where I could never remember what his real name was. But when he said Hagberg, I thought, oh my God. So we took a picture together. He bought some t-shirts, and that was really awesome because that's, I think, maybe the first time I've ever met somebody at a show or met, found somebody at a show from my hometown of Yellow Springs, which is, a population of just over 3,000 people, while I'm on the road that I didn't know was going to be at the show already. It wasn't like I didn't post that I was going to be in Richmond anywhere but the podcast. And he and I haven't seen each other since 1994. So, yeah, that was totally organic and really neat and kind of blew my mind. And it was a nice, it was like icing on the cake to what was a really good show. I was really happy with my performance, so much so that I watched the headliner go up and I was afraid that he was going to have a little bit of trouble winning the audience back over to his side, which maybe took him a minute and a half to 4 minutes tops. If it took him 4 minutes, that's because I'm trying to give myself more credit. But he was rocking the place, closed real strong, and we both sold a bunch of stuff. So maybe the best Wednesday show I've ever been a part of in my life, especially at a club for a paid audience. On a Wednesday out of town. Do you like how I put all these qualifiers on it? I don't know if I need to put that many qualifiers on shows. I don't know why I slowed down right there. I was thinking about a bit I did last night about Clinton and Trump. And I also thought about the show because last night was the first night I ever had. They said, "What do you want us to say about you?" Like, so when you go and you're going to get introduced by the MC or the guy that does the announcements. And by the way, the guy that does the announcements here at Richmond, the best announcement voice I've heard since Doc at the Dayton Funny Bone. And Doc wasn't like over the top. He was no Bruce Buffer, but very professional and put some effort into it. For a guy who's normally pretty monotone, Doc would stretch to do the voice, right? So that's all I'm looking for is be a little bit over the top. You don't have to be very over the top. But if you're going to do announcements, they shouldn't sound like you're struggling. The guy that did the announcements in Tampa was trying very hard to do a good job, but was his rhythm was just a little off. I think he might have a hard time hearing the audience from the sound booth that he's in, but it was almost like one show we had, he was like, if you're ready to have a good time tonight, make some noise. And the audience was like, push. I mean, they'd like were ready to have a good time. And sometimes they're not like, push. Sometimes it's more like, eh. You know, spattered clapter and not like, they're like, they're still talking like they didn't even hear him. Now that's most of the time that it's like that. But if they are really good and they're ready to have a good time, then you just keep on going with the announcements. You don't say, oh, you guys can do better than that. I think that's a stock line that we use in comedy. I know I've used it more times than I can count when I was an MC introducing a headliner or a feature act. It's not necessary. If they're not ready at that point, then you just remind them on the second go around. It's kind of like, I don't know. There's no right or wrong answer here. But if they are ready to go, you don't need to get him again, because when he did it, he was like, oh, you guys can do better than that. Are you guys ready to have a good time tonight? They were like, yeah, motherfucker, we just told you we were ready to have a good time. It's like they're almost resentful that they're being asked to dig deeper when they know they just dug deep. That being said, the announcements are an important part of the show. It's as important as the MC or the feature. We're all setting the stage for the headliner. I was trying to come up with an analogy, and I think it's best described as at a comedy show, at a paid comedy show where there's three performers, you'll have the MC who'll act as the water, the drink order, if you will. Might even be a shot of whiskey involved. You know, if he's real good, you might be getting a glass of wine and some water and some bread, right? But it's not a meal. It's not the meal. Then the feature act is like an appetizer. It will satiate your hunger, right? But it's not the meal. The headliner's the meal. The headliner is the steak, the potatoes, the vegetables, a refill on your drink, and if you're lucky, dessert. It works best that way. So in that regard, that makes the guy that does the sound and the announcements, he's like your waiter. And the waiter we had last night was fantastic. I mean, this guy probably does more voiceover work than just this, but I had to stop him and shake his hand because it's fantastic. And I'm glad I did this. This is where this all started. Do you like the way I set up a premise and then I work backwards and give you a whole bunch of backstory that has nothing to do with the premise until I reveal the backstory? It's this new thing I'm working on called not being prepared. The reason I said that was because I, for the first time, they said, what do you want us to say about you? I said, ah, shit, I don't know. I never say the same thing twice. A lot of people, the standard is clubs and colleges. This guy's a favorite at clubs and colleges all over the country. That's what you say when you don't have any other credits. Or if you just don't like to think about it. No, I told him, tell him I'm the host of Totally Unrelated. And they're like, what's that? I said, it's my show. I don't think I need to differentiate the fact that it's a podcast or a show or skywriting, whatever you want to call it. But I'm going to start promoting the podcast from stage a lot more. I did not last night, but maybe I did. I don't remember as I was going into my pitch. I was about 3 minutes over last night, which is rare for me to go that far over because I'm best at 20 to 25, closing on at 25 with my closer. I could do 45. I can do 30, but from the feature set, I like to keep it tight. But when they're laughing, it's easy to go long. For me, not necessarily because I want to do more material. That wasn't the case last night. It was just that their laughter adds time. I have to give them time to laugh. So that adds time to the set. And last night was the first time where I was like counting. You know, this always happens when you get to the end of your set. Or this always happens to me when I get to the end of my set. when I'm going into my closing bit, I start recalling all the bits I didn't tell but wanted to before that. And I'm looking at my clock, I'm going into the landing, and I'm thinking of the four bits that I missed, which is, I mean, these are four bits that I usually stand on. And I was like, damn, I didn't do any of those bits, and I'm over time. So I'm going to go over the set after this, listen to it, make sure I can figure out where that went. It's probably in that Clinton and Trump piece, which I don't think I explained, but the bit that I was doing was about them. And here's the thing, I wasn't really lost, but sometimes when it's going really well, I like to riff. So I went into a riff about that. And the way I do it is I challenge myself by just talking. I don't know what I'm going to say, but I'll set something up by just talking. So I said politics, and that led me down that path. Started talking about it and made a point in the end. Maybe I'll play that clip for you if it came out okay. It came out okay in the end, and it was one of the first times that I had to do as much legwork as it took to get there, but I think that's a bit that I can add to the repertoire once I boil out the excess. But I'll try and isolate that. The problem with doing these podcasts on the road is that I'm not using my preferred editing suite, which is the Adobe suite. I'm using Audacity, which I've gotten better at using, but switching between the two, I always forget how to do something, and then I'm just like, ugh, it becomes more of a headache. But I, today, cannot check into this new hotel till around 3, and I will have plenty of time to work on the editing, so I have no excuses now. Man, I got eaten alive when I was in Florida, or maybe it was driving. I somehow got like a mosquito in the car, or a couple mosquitoes or whatever, but my right arm looks like I held it up to avoid getting shot with darts. Just hurts. I mean, it doesn't hurt. It just is annoying how much it itches. I feel like I need to put Neosporin on it because I'm going to scratch through my delicate skin. The pool here at this complex, though, is really nice. I'm sitting in my car recording this podcast, by the way, guys, because I'm much more comfortable sitting in this car than I am sitting in the condo. And it's not because the condo is that bad. It's just that the room that I'm staying in is, it needs paint. It needs a better cleaning job than it's ever gotten in the last 2 years, it looks like. And I'm staying there with somebody that works at the club, which isn't a problem. It's just awkward. It's not that awkward because it works at the club. It's not like it's some stranger. And I mean, I'd do an Airbnb. I'd do anything, you know, where you're like renting a room. I'd rent a room from somebody's house if I had to. As a comic, I'm pretty pliable. But when I'm uncomfortable already because of the level of cleanliness, then it's hard for me to not have it show on my face. So then I'm like stuck in this little room, and this is his house. He lives there. So it's like, it's just different. And, if I hadn't set my life up the way I've set my life up, then I would just deal with this. But I've set my life up to be adaptable and pliable and to be able to make changes where I know I need to make changes for my own well-being. And this is one of those changes that I'm going to have to make. It's going to cut into the overhead a little bit more than I wanted it to, but at the end of the day, it's not like it's keeping me from anything. The only thing that not doing it would do is keep me from my happiness. But I'm thinking what I might do is just, once it gets a little bit nicer here, I'm going to go lay out by the pool again because the pool is really nice. And then I'll get my stuff and go check into the hotel around 3 when they allow. Let's be honest, I'm going to go over early and see if I can get in. But the week here should be great. I'm really excited. This is Richmond, Virginia. It's about an hour away from, what's it called? Charlottesville, Virginia, UVA. My buddy Chris Allen, who's been on the podcast a couple times, is living there currently as he is stationed in the armed services, and thought I was going to get to see him last night, but he didn't show up, So hopefully I'll get to see him this weekend sometime. He's got shows in D.C. this week, but I think he's off tomorrow. So I might drive over there and hang out with him. Try to record a cast! He's the one that put me on to Bill Burr. Every time I do that high voice like that, I feel like I'm impersonating Bill Burr. But he was my first podcast that I ever listened to. And the only podcast that I listened to for a good amount of time. And I highly recommend you listen to the Bill Burr podcast if you like to listen to the single-person rant cast style like you are listening to right now, except from somebody who is infinitely more funny and more well-traveled and more well-versed on sports and history. Listen to Bill Burr. Also listen to Joe Rogan. Like that. My favorite right now is Pete Holmes. You Made It Weird. I've been told by several people recently that I remind them of Pete Holmes. Not that I remind them of Pete Holmes, but that I have a Pete Holmes-style energy, which is the biggest compliment I've ever gotten because I really dig Pete's energy. That being said, I don't know what has anybody listened to a podcast, but I am truly addicted to podcasts. I'd rather listen to podcasts than books on tape. I was listening to a little bit of NPR the other morning, and I miss this. I miss people talking about the news without getting all worked up or putting their political opinion on it. Now, by virtue of just reporting, there is a bias on it, I think, and the fact that it's on a NPR probably also illustrates another bias. But the way they deliver it is so dry and so commentary-less format. It's just, you know, even their commercials are like, I've done this before, but the commercial that I remember from NPR when I was a little bit younger was for Smuckers. And they'd be like, All Things Considered is brought to you by Smuckers. Smuckers. With a name like Smuckers, it has to be good. You know, there's nothing, they're not selling it, they're telling it. And that's what I like about NPR. It's not, even CNN lately, oh my God. CNN used to be okay, but they totally adopted the Fox News commentary style reporting, which is, let's have three hosts, all with slightly varying opinions about subjects, and then instead of just reporting the news, let's just let them talk about what they think it is. And then that's how we end up with interviews from people who knew the Orlando shooter in grade school. You know, and I'm not saying that that's not newsworthy, but it's not newsworthy in a live interview. I mean, if you want to sit down with this guy because he has something important to say, and you interview him, and then you edit the interview, and then you think, okay, is this newsworthy? And then you air it. Sure. But taking the call on air live from somebody you haven't vetted, I mean, they just put anybody on TV these days. It's almost like open mic news. It's like show up and go up. If you show up at a news scene, you could go up. You could be on the news. And I think that's the big thing, which is why I watch CBS News. And you say, why do you watch CBS News? Aren't they all the same? No, CBS is different than the other morning news channels, network news channels, even cable. In that, yes, they have three hosts. They have Charlie Rose, Gail King, and Nora O'Donnell. And they're all opinionated people, except for Charlie, who might be a robot. But they don't, you know, their opinion comes after, and it's just like, no, I don't like that. No, I think it's fine. You know, that's really all it boils down to. There's very seldom a debate amongst them about right or wrong, or, it, you know, if it's terrible, then they all agree it's terrible, you know, tragedy, etc. But I just like the way they report the news, and they also give you a recap at the beginning and the second hour. So it opens with Your World in 90 Seconds from Charlie Rose, and they just kind of give you a recap of what's going on in the world. And then again at 8 o'clock, or the second hour, depending on what time zone you're watching it in, they do it again, and it might be slightly different. And it might include clips from the first hour. But I like the way that they condense all the headlines down into 90 seconds. and then kind of go through. It's almost like if I was going to be like, these are the subjects I'm going to tell you about in my stand-up show, and then preview them for a minute and a half, and then went on and expanded them. That might not work for comedy, but damn, it's fun for news. And the other thing about it is it kind of gives you a preview of what to, if you even want to watch the news that day. You know what I'm saying? It's like, slow news day is a slow news day. I love CBS News. It's the only news station that I like to watch in the morning. And when you're on the road, it's nice to have something that you can tune into that's regular. Have you guys been watching the Copa America and Euro 16? USA finished fourth, which might be the highest finish they've ever had in international tournament. But the team that everyone is talking about right now is Iceland. Did you know Iceland spells it with an S? So when it's on screen, like when they were playing England, England was ENG as an abbreviation, and Iceland was ISL. ISL. Anyway, maybe I'm the only one that knows that, but Iceland, they spell it with an S, I-S-E-L-A-N-D, I think. But they are a nation of 300,000 people. You may have heard of Iceland before. They are kicking ass in the Euro 2016. I don't know all the stats. I don't know anybody on the team. I don't know anybody from the team. I don't know if they're playing professionally elsewhere in the world, but there's certainly no superstars on the team. Except for now, they're all getting a lot of recognition for kicking so much ass, and they just beat England, who is a soccer superpower. Now, has England been a soccer superpower recently? No, not really. In fact, they've been very disappointing in international competition, I'd say, in the last 8 years. They've had almost no chutzpah in the last 8 years, that I can tell. Disappointing exit from the World Cup, and really not even a very impressive showing in this Euro 2016. And that's not to say that they don't have the talent, because they absolutely do. I mean, I might be a little bit biased because five of Tottenham Hotspur's players start for the England squad. But, you know, Belgium was kicking ass too, and they're in the same boat. They have a bunch of Tottenham players, a small nation. And, you know, this is what I'm getting to, guys. It's the power of belief. When you believe that you can achieve something, it adds a lot more possibility to the mix. So when we're talking about living your dream or going for something big, looking for a new job, finding happiness, whatever that is for you, whatever it is that is your game that you're playing and you're trying to win, believing that you can win is probably the most important component. Have people won games that they didn't think they could win? Sure. Have they done things that they thought they couldn't do? Sure. But deep down inside, there had to have been some sort of belief that it could happen, or you wouldn't even try. Now, I'm not talking about winning the lottery, even though I am talking about winning the lottery in some degree. But I'm thinking more in terms of putting effort into something. For instance, if you play recreational soccer one night a week and you're not doing any physical exercise to get ready for it, maybe you're already in pretty good shape, just naturally, you can do it. If you were to run twice a week, just a couple miles, or do some drills in your basement for just 20 minutes a day, a couple times a week, that will translate into a result for you when you go to perform. And the belief that it will translate, mixed with the actual practice of having practiced, is a very powerful mix. It's just a very powerful mix. And we saw it with Leicester City in the Premier League this last year, in the English Premier League, a team that was in last place, 5,000-1 to win the league, wins the league. And they never let up. They never had a moment of not believing in themselves. And the whole time, they just practiced, believed, and executed. And I think that's what Iceland's doing right now. And to some degree, I think that's what my whole comedy career has been based on, was this idea that if I put the work in, I could do it. and I might be okay at it. And I'll tell you this, last night was like a rebirth, a phoenix-like experience, a rising from the ashes. Not that, and that's a very slight comparison, because the shows that I had in Tampa weren't great. Thursday was fantastic, one of the best Thursday shows I've ever had in my life, and it was packed and everything. Friday, first show, pretty good. Friday, second show, horrible. Saturday, first show, pretty good. Saturday, second show, not good. Sunday, really good. So, like, that's... It was weird, because normally the way that it would go would be Thursday, not so good. Friday, fantastic. Both shows. Saturday, fantastic. Both shows. Sunday, not so good. Thursday and Sunday, you expect to be duds. Sometimes Friday and Saturday, second show can be a dud, but it's usually pretty live. Pretty lively. People are pretty drunk. Or at least looking to have a good time. Or coming from, or about to go to, their second version of a good time. What I'm saying, though, is that I wasn't really happy with my set, but I was doing a lot of rework with the order of the jokes that I'm telling. And I think, thinking about it, after having done it, I came in last night, and I did those jokes with a lot more zest and zeal and conviction, and it bought me the energy I needed for the rest of my set. So I felt a lot better about, I mean, I felt last night was the set I was looking for all of last weekend. And to get it on a Wednesday in Virginia, I'll take it. But it was the result of putting in some work and believing that I could. And I'll tell you, man, when I was in Tampa, I was really, really, really nervous before every show, to a point that was unusual. Like, I normally don't like the feeling of butterflies or nausea or shortness of breath. But before almost every show in Tampa, I had that. And I don't know if it's because the shows were so big. I don't know if it was the heat. I don't know what it was. But I would get up there and the nerves would go away as soon as I get on stage. They always do. But even when it wasn't going that well, I would still sell a bunch of t-shirts after the show. And I think what it was a very diverse crowd. And I think that area has a lot of young people and older people. And I could always tell during the shows, even when I didn't feel like I was doing well, I was always doing well for a couple of people. I get that I'm not everybody's cup of tea, but clearly I want to be resonating with at least 75% of the audience. If I had a choice, that would be my minimum, and not 25%. But I got a lot of positive feedback, took a ton of pictures. It's hard to reconcile that feeling like you didn't do well, but I think the lesson might be partially, the better you get at stand-up, and I've heard this before, and I'm just now starting to experience it, but the better that you get at stand-up, the smaller the gap of not doing well becomes. So the deficit of feeling like you didn't do good and crushing is much smaller. You know what I mean? It's almost like on a scale of 1 to 10, when I first started out, I'd be like, ooh, that was a 10. And then maybe two nights later, I'd be like, that was a 2. And that deficit would make me feel like shit. Like, how could I go from 10 to 2? Well, what happens, the more practice you get and the more experience you get and the more you get used to getting a certain result, the difference between 10 and 9 becomes the same feeling as 10 and 2. It's a deficit, and you're upset with yourself for not having done as well as you know you can or should have done. Is that all ego-driven? Absolutely. But at the same time, if we were talking about building a chair or a house, and one house that you built, you know, if every house you built was perfect, and then one house you built fell down, you'd be questioning your skills as a carpenter. Speaking of carpentry, a shout I'd like to give to a gentleman who gave me a card when I was in Tampa. Let's see. Hoopers Concrete and Block Incorporated, hoopersconcrete@gmail.com. You can find them on the web at www.hoopersconcreteblock.com. That's HOOPERS concrete block.com, all one word. Hoopers, HOOPERSCONCRETEBLOCK.com. Check them out. Eric Hooper, very funny guy. If you're looking for concrete block and you're in the greater Tampa area, I told him I'd give him a shout out on the next podcast. He bought some koozies. Thank you for your support, guys. The easiest way that you guys can support me in my endeavors is to listen to the podcast and share the podcast and like the podcast, review the podcast. I mean, you don't even have to like it. You can give it a thumbs down. That actually, I mean, it doesn't help me, but it doesn't hurt me, and it does help me get better. If you're like, hey, Adrian, the podcast used to be great and now it's not so good, or Adrian, the podcast used to suck and now it's really good, I need to know these things because I'm doing this for you as much as I am for me. That's a lie. I'm doing this mostly for me. Not because I enjoy talking to myself for 45 minutes and 52 seconds, but because it's a great exercise, one. And two, it's like a journal. When I do these podcasts, I always feel better afterwards. The problem is sometimes I get to 12 minutes and I'm like, well, that's everything I wanted to talk about. And here I am. When I started this podcast, I really didn't want to start it this morning, but I didn't want to go back inside the condo yet. I'm drinking my coffee in my car. I got my sun visor up in the windshield, so it's cool in here without that car being on. You might have heard that it was on. I had to turn it off. I don't know what has me be able to talk today for 46 minutes and 41 seconds at this point. I don't know what me be able to do that today without so much effort, but the last 7-8 times that I've tried to sit down and do this, I've come up very, very, very short. And I think that's been the problem in my quest to do 2 a week. The other problem is not having enough interviews in the can. I did record an interview this week with my good friend Chase from Jacksonville, Florida, but we were outside. He's got a very deep voice. And the audio, just there's too many crickets. So I'm going to have to go home and clean that up and see if I can even get that to go. If not, I'll have to do it again, which would be hard because I won't be back to Jacksonville for a couple of months. But my goal is to try to get an interview in this week, maybe with Tim Gaither, who's the headliner this week. If not, maybe I'll do one with Dylan. He seemed to have a lot of similar interests as me. And he's very funny. He's the MC this week here in Richmond. So thank you for your support, guys. The easiest way you can support, and I've been saying this on stage, is to take a picture with me after the show and tag me in it and on social media. Follow me on social media, Instagram and Twitter. I'm ditching Facebook. I have to sign out of everything. I use Facebook to sign into like a lot of fitness apps and a lot of different apps that I use on my phone. And so I deleted my Facebook a couple days ago and I couldn't get into any of those apps. So I had to re-sign back into Facebook and now individually go back and change all my username and stuff without, because I don't want to lose that data, or maybe I do in some of the apps, but long story short, MyFitnessPal is my new Facebook and I'm okay with that. The other thing is, I don't think you need it anymore. And I don't feel like when I'm on Facebook, I feel good afterwards. And I say this now that I'm going to delete my Facebook, and I probably won't. I probably just whittle it down to being as little interaction as possible. Just like kind of a front page, post the podcast. If you need to send me a message, Facebook Messenger is the only thing I regularly use on Facebook. But back to the support thing. Thank you for the support. Thank you for all the pictures. Thank you for the t-shirts and the koozies and the magnets that you guys buy. All of that stuff really does help me get from A to B. And it's supporting me, but I don't just support me. I also support feedingamerica.org. I'm not affiliated with them. They don't pay me to be affiliated with them. I just pay them. And it's all just out of the goodness of my heart. So whenever I make an order for t-shirts, like if I make an order for 80 t-shirts, I make an $80 donation to feedingamerica.org. That way, even if the t-shirts never sold, if they got stolen out of the back of my car, the good that I want to do with that has already been done. It's almost like I would feel bad if I said, oh, and 10% of these proceeds will go to feedingamerica.org, and then I collected all the money and then never made the payment because I'm lazy, which is very realistic for a lot of people. I know a lot of people pair their product, the Susan G. Komen or other Wounded Warrior, other different charities, and I don't know how they handle theirs, but for me, it was important to do it as a non-affiliation, meaning that I'm not sponsored by them. They're not giving me a break. I'm not deducting it from my taxes, although this year I probably will have to because it's adding cost to, and I'm going to have to claim my income this year on those in a way that I never made enough to do before. That's not the point. The point is that if you're going to support me, I just want people to know that that's not all I'm looking for. We can all support each other in some way, shape, or form. If you went and looked at my eBay auctions, I sold a bunch of my clothes, and when I get off this tour, I'll be selling a lot more of my old clothes that I used to wear on stage. When I was first performing, I was trying to figure out my look, and I think I figured out a way to tell every new comedian how to dress, and then you start to progress through these phases on your own, developing your own look. But you kind of have to start with a blank canvas, and that blank canvas shouldn't be a hoodie, sweatshirt, cut-off finger gloves, and dirty boots. I mean, it can be, but if you're not a hobo clown act, then why would you do that to yourself? The blank slate would be dress pants, dress shirt, and a tie, and not have them clash. I would also suggest wearing dress shoes. And then as you get used to that, and that becomes normal for you, dressing up for work, you can move into different color schemes and figure out what actually looks best on you. But to me, Reservoir Dogs is the perfect stage outfit. If you dress like a Reservoir Dog every time you went on stage, you'd never have a problem with your outfit. And that's what I'm seeing a lot of. I gave some people some advice a while back, I gave one person some advice a while back, and I did not intend for that to have a blossoming effect, but I've seen that it's had a minimal effect on some of the acts surrounding this guy and the people that he's close to. And that's neat, because it's pretty fucking obvious that you should dress up for work. And I also believe that you should dress for the act that fits you. But that being said, I need to buy some new clothes today. I started that subject, and I was going to work my way back into something, and now I have no idea why I even brought that up. I was talking about clothes, dressing for the act. You know what? We're at 52 minutes and 52 seconds, and so at this point, I feel like I've kind of done what I wanted to do. I'm pretty happy with myself for having entertained you for 53 seconds or 53 minutes and 2 seconds at this point. Do you like the way I keep giving you updates? If you're working out right now, I want you to feel like you know exactly where you are. You know, if you're starting your cool down right now, make sure you take deep breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth. Okay, let's make sure that we're not overdoing it today. I hope that you consulted a physician before you started your workout routine. If you've not listen to Falling Down on My Face, let that be your cautionary tale. Go back and listen to it. It's what can happen to you if you do not consult a physician before you start your exercise or diet regimen. Big show tonight. It's Thursday. I feel great. I'm getting an extra show in this week, and I hope that Thursday is as good as Wednesday, which is something I've never said before. I'm going to go over to Starbucks here in a few minutes and chop this thing up. I'm going to listen to those snippet episodes that I put up, and I'm going to put them up at the end. I might put one up at the beginning. Oh, here's what I was going to say, guys. This was like the biggest tangent. If you want to support me. Know that I'm not just supporting myself. I'm also supporting other people. I support as many comics as ask me for support. I support feedingamerica.org from the goodness of my heart, not through an affiliation, but just through, why wouldn't I? And if you went to my eBay catalog, this is where it started. If you went to my eBay auctions, you'll see that I donated 15% of all of my sales to feedingamerica.org there too. So when I get back from tour, I'll be selling some of my stage clothes. I might actually find somebody who has my measurements and try to just give them to them. Find a comic or somebody who needs work clothes who has my measurements and just gift them to them. Because there's some really nice clothes, like Calvin Klein blazers, and some of them aren't that nice, but I have a couple of those that just not the right color. You know, I was looking for my look, just like I was talking about before with these other guys. And I bought a lot of dress clothes in that. And now I have my look currently, and I just don't find those other clothes useful. They're just taking up space. I'm trying to pare myself down. I'd like to get into a Steve Jobs situation where I wear the same thing every day. Not that I wear the same clothes every day, but the same outfit, essentially. The same look. And I don't need that for the rest of my life, but I'd like to be able to adjust that, you know, every 6 months to a year, because I have way too many clothes. I don't wear them all. I sold several pairs of jeans that still had the tags on them. And that's embarrassing. That's a sign of excess, not success. Could I make that into a t-shirt? I don't think so. You guys, you can have that. Watch out for me when I get back off this tour. I'll be on my good friend Rand Barnaclough's podcast. I got the invite. Maybe the third invite I've ever gotten to be on somebody else's podcast versus the 300 invites I send out every week for people to be on mine. If you'd like to be on the podcast, you can. All you have to do is call the hotline. It's 336-422-6729. Leave me a message and you'll be on the podcast. And I thank you, all of you people, for all of you people that call the hotline, ye people. Is that my Nancy Grace? Thank you to everyone who has called the hotline. Thank you. Every time I listen to these messages, it just warms me from the inside out. It's like an internal combustion oven. If I spontaneously combust one day, you'll know that my voicemail box was full that day. But yeah, if you have any suggestions, what you like, what you don't like about the show, call the hotline. Let me know. If you say you don't want this to air, but you want to send me a message, I won't air it. I edit it all anyway. I have to listen to them, and then I have to cut out the... And here's the thing, guys. There's a couple of you that I think have been calling, and I don't know if it's that you don't speak English or if your connection's really bad. But there's a couple times every week where I get a message that's just like... And that, I want to know who that is or what you're saying. So maybe you send me a message on email. If you've been like, I've left three messages and you haven't played any of them, it's you. Don't do the messages while you're on speakerphone, because I have to play them back on speakerphone. And so then it's just extra noise that makes it hard to hear. If you can do it from a quiet room, put the phone to your mouth. You know, don't put it in a glass of water first. I'm kidding, guys. Most of them are perfectly fine, and I like listening to them no matter what. I want to air them all, and that's the only reason why I'm coaching you on the audible quality. Thank you guys for your support. I just passed my 300th day on MyFitnessPal. Thank you for the support there. My friends there have been extraordinary. I'm still waiting to meet one of you guys live at the show. So if you're the first person to come up to me at the show and say, hey, I'm a totally unrelated listener, I'll give you a free totally unrelated t-shirt that I carry with me. I only carry a couple of them because I don't sell them at the shows anymore. You can get them on the website at CosbyComedy.com. There's a store link, and you can buy a shirt there. Or you can come to a show and you can tell me that you're a podcast listener and you can get one for free. But I only carry one of each size, so hopefully you don't all come to the same show. What else was I going to say about that? I had one more thing I wanted to say. Call or leave a message. 336-422-6729. Leave me a voicemail. Let me know how you're enjoying the show. Call anytime. It doesn't ring for me. I just go back and I listen to the messages as I'm getting ready to upload the next podcast, and that's how we know it works. So, I guess I'm going to go to Starbucks now and start on my 17th cup of coffee. I'm drinking some Dunkin' Donuts right now. That was at the gas station I walked to from this condo, which is a nice touch. I like to be able to walk to my coffee. I mean, obviously, I'd like to be able to walk downstairs to the lobby and get the coffee, though, right? the cable in my room doesn't work, and so I was watching internet cable last night on my laptop, and I thought, you know, something's got to give here. And then I woke up this morning and saw some creepy crawlies, and I was like, you know what, that's a wrap, going to the Quality Inn. So hopefully that's not worse. If it is, I'll let you know. And if it's better, I'll let you know. Thank you for everything that you've done this week to yourselves, for yourselves, and for somebody else. When you help somebody, you help humanity. And that's all it takes, guys, is a little bit of help. I'll tell you the story of when I first started doing comedy. I was terrified. I had just watched my friends do a good job at an open mic, and they're telling me now I need to sign up. And I didn't want to. I was resistant. I had tried it before. It didn't go well for me. I mean, it went okay, but I was scared of it because the first time went good. The second time was terrible. And that's every comic's experience. The first three times, one of them's going to be a bomb. And I was talking to my good friend, Karen Jaffe, who's been a guest on the show. And I was telling her, no, you know, I like improv. I don't want to do stand-up. I've tried this before. I don't want to do it. I told you that. And then my other friend, Dave Brinkman, looks over and he says, we'll help you. And in that moment, all of my fear, all of my trepidation and resistance was gone instantly, in a flash, gone, because somebody had offered to help me. And I didn't even know I was looking for help. I didn't know I was waiting for him to say those words. If he had said, what do I have to tell you in order for you to do this? I would have not known what he would, I wouldn't have known that was it. But he just said it matter-of-factly. And even in that matter-of-factly, like, he was just like, dude, we'll help you. I mean, it's not like you're going to be out here by yourself. I was like, oh, well, yeah, well, then of course, yeah, well, then of course, yes, I'll do it. How about in 2 weeks? If I can go fourth, that would be great. I have about 4.5 minutes. I mean, it wasn't like that thought out, but it was instantly no to a yes. And so what I'm asking you to do is to recognize your power as somebody else's helper. You never know what they're waiting for you to say. And when you stand in a place of helping, you're always available. You're always willing to see somebody else do well and be successful. That will translate for you in ways that you can't even imagine. It's not about doing good things to make yourself a good person. It's about doing good things because it makes life better for everyone. Is that hippie enough for you, my Yellow Springs people? My unrelateds? That's another thing we need to talk about, is what are we going to call ourselves? Unrelatables? Unrelatards? Totes? Totes relots? I don't know. You guys tell me. Call the hotline. Leave me a message. Tell me what you think we should be called. The phone number, again, 336-422-6729. This has been Totally Unrelated. I'm your host, Adrian Cosby. Stay. That was weird. That cut off for a second. Stay unrelated.
it's okay with